Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Steve Parker.
Please speak to us today. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, Angus. Angus is going to stick something on the screen for us here. One of the wonders of modern technology. We've been enjoying a nice little breakaway. And we enjoyed some complimentary maid service. Wow. And isn't it amazing what you can do when you've got a bit of time on your hand? So that's our towels. One's made in the shape of an elephant, the other one's made in the shape of a swan. And that's it. I just thought you'd enjoy that. So speaking of you, Tracy, that's what it is. Let's see, I saw the elephant there. I thought Tracy would like that one. So Mike, you know what to do with the towels now, mate. Okay. If you could take a picture and show us next week, that would be really good. Thanks, Angus. We'll have the scriptures up next, I think. Right, so it's more, part two. And getting a little bit more specific. God has put more in us. Okay, so what does that mean exactly? God has put more in us than we could ever ask, think, or imagine, or hope. God has got more that he has put in us. Right, yeah. So yeah, like we had a little bit more than we thought we was going to get last week. We wasn't expecting a complimentary room service. And so when they came along and said, do you want any loo rolls? We said, yeah, bring it on. We've got more loo rolls than we've ever had in our life. Brought more home with us. And extra tablets for the dishwasher and things like that. It was absolutely fantastic. You know, I said, you come on in, make yourself a cup of coffee, I said. And they did. And that was the result, the towels on the bed and stuff like that. And it says you reap what you sow. I went to Starbucks and just chatting with the fella there, just kind of being nice to him, and he said, this one's on me, but he said it in a kind of Spanish accent, because the bloke was Spanish, but this one's on me, he said. So yeah, I got a free Starbucks as well. Fantastic. I suppose they can afford to be generous, because they don't pay their taxes, can they? But I'm not complaining. Well, it's the law's fault, isn't it? If the law lets them do it, they're going to do it, aren't they? God, blimey. Anyway, not that I encourage that kind of thing, of course. No. You know, it's important that Christians pay their taxes.
True.
Amen. And their tithes. But anyway, I should never preach altogether. Right, so God has invested in us more, infinitely more, than we could ask or think. So we're going to be starting in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. And if you want to follow along so that I don't need to hesitate whilst you're looking through your Bibles, then, yeah, it's on the screen there for you. So, here we go. This is Paul speaking to the Ephesian church, and he's writing his history. He was a killer. He hated Christians. He went round, rounded them up, liked killing them because he thought he was going to rid these people off of the face of the earth. And then he had an encounter with Jesus, found out that he was completely and utterly wrong. And so this is why what he has to say about himself. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. And I was thinking, endless treasures. What can you do to think of endless treasures? And those of you who've perhaps watched the last Hobbit film, and there they are in Erebor. And there's the dragon Smaug or Smaug, whichever pronunciation you like. You're sitting there on that great big treasure hoard, endless treasure. But you think about it, eventually you'd be able to count that out, wouldn't you? But not with God. He has endless treasure for us. And there's no dragon, no matter how big he is going to be able to steal that from us, even though he may try. Okay, you know the dragon I'm talking about, the devil. Okay. And God, he does that for a purpose. There's always a purpose in everything that God does. I'm sure if you've been living as a Christian long enough, you've found that out. So verse 10, what does it say here? God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. So we're talking about unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Basically what it's talking about is the demonic realm that rule over certain parts of the earth, over non-Christian believers. Non-Christian believers? That's a kind of a bit of a contradiction. All right. Unbelievers, shall we say. You know, the rulers of this world the Bible talks about. Bless them. And, okay, so God has got a purpose in giving us endless treasures, all right? So, basically, God, he likes to show us off to the devil. You know, he likes to say, this, you had a purpose for this believer. You had a purpose for Tony. But I want to tell you, I got another purpose for him. And he shows Tony off to the devil, you know. And when the devil sees us, he knows that he's been outsmarted again, all right? So every single one of us that are believers here, you know, that God loves to show us off to the devil. See, you had a plan for this person, but that plan is backfiring again. Because these people are going to defeat you. You could say amen to that if you like. Yeah. All right. And that shows God's, it talks about here, I've got it in my little word wealth down here. It talks about, it shows God's wisdom and its multifaceted wisdom, multicolored, variety, varied as it is. Okay. Right. Ephesians 3:16. Moving on. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources. He keeps talking about that word unlimited, doesn't he, Paul? He comes with that. I can see him getting carried away when he's praying for his prayer. It's really good. But I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Does anybody like a little bit of empowerment from God? Yes. Anybody like a lot of empowerment from God? All right. Strength to be what God calls us to be, says Matthew Henry, to do our duty for God, all right? And it's a strength that comes into our souls, a strength that comes into our faith. We become mighty by God's power that works inside of us, okay? So with this kind of strength, we may have had areas of failure in the past, but God can make them into areas of success. All right, God wants strength for you. God wants strength for me. Yes. Yeah. You know, sometimes when you do stuff, you step out in faith with God and you think to yourself at the end of it, wow, God, I never knew that you could use me like that. Yeah. All right, see, God wants us strong, yeah? How many of us would go to a weakling for advice and say, oh, I can see you're really weak, you know, you're such a weakling. Can you show me how to be a weakling too? You don't really do that, do you? You go to the strong to get strength, you know. You go to the strong. How do you do that? You know, what has God done in you that he can do in me so that I can do it too? Yeah. You know, you go to the strong to get strong. Yeah. You wouldn't go to a weakling. Inner strength, all right? It's not an outward strength. Outward strength, it makes you look good like The Rock or like Arnold Schwarzenegger or something like that. Somebody will look at you and think, wow, that's impressive. I like that. They look really strong on the outside. I wouldn't mind being like that. But the inner strength that you get, people want to know, hey, where does it come from? You know, and it gives glory to God. You know, you can be impressed by a person who's got inner strength, can't you? You think, where do they get that inner strength from? And you know, it gives glory to God, and God gets the glory through it. With God's inner strength, we can be awesome.
Yeah.
You know, we've heard the word awesome. It gets bandied around a lot, doesn't it, you know? And I think we've got a little bit too used to the word awesome. Mm. We've lost the awe of awesome.
Yeah.
All right? We've lost the awe of awesome. God wants us to be awesome. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Okay? You have a cup of coffee and you say, oh, that was awesome. No, it wasn't. It was a nice cup of coffee. All right. But God wants us to be awesome. Well, Steve Clark. Everything's awesome with Steve Clark, isn't it? Awesome. Awesome. Anyway. God wants us to be awesome and to cause awe. All right, to be amazing.
Yeah.
Our lives should be grand. Our lives should be gobsmacking because we have got Jesus inside of us.
Yeah.
And Jesus is grand. Jesus is awesome. Jesus is gobsmacking.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's God's intention for you. Right. So, I'm taking it for granted. You're in church today, so I'm just going to take it for granted. You believe that Jesus is actually awesome. Yeah. And he's amazing. You know, there's something about Jesus that has brought you to this place. You must know that Jesus is awesome. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 2. just to prove the point. But this was when Jesus was a 12-year-old lad. He's not even been anointed with the Spirit yet. And verse 47, Jesus is chatting with the teachers of the law. And everybody's listening to him, kind of looking. This kid's 12 years old. And this is what they had to say. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. So Jesus was amazing, even at 12, even when he wasn't moving in the Spirit's power. Even then, Jesus was amazing. I mean, we could go all through the Gospels. I could keep you all day just reading scriptures about how Jesus amazed people and how Jesus caused awe. But like I say, I'm taking it for granted that we believe Jesus is awesome. So what I want us to do is to prove that God wants us to be awesome as well. And we're going to go into Acts chapter 2, verse 13. This is what it says. But there was in the crowd... Verse 12. Let's start. I should be starting at verse 12, sorry. They stood there. This is the day of Pentecost. Let's paint the pictures. Day of Pentecost. And the church has just been born. The Holy Spirit has come. And they've all been speaking in other languages, and people from all over the world can understand what they're saying. They can't work out what on earth is going on. And this is the people. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked one another. So they were amazed at what was going on in God's people. And verse 43 of the same chapter. Says this. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. So this was the believers themselves. You know, there was a deep sense of awe amongst the believers. They were awesome. All right. God wants us to be awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Amen.
Right. Acts 4, verse 13. Says this. So the apostles now have just performed an outstanding miracle, and people were yet again amazed. And they were called in and saying, look, what's going on? These people are praying for people and they're getting well. They was really upset about it. I can't understand why myself. It's all to do with jealousy. They wanted to be the boys, they wanted to be the top men, and God had just kind of picked up these two fishermen, and they'd performed this outstanding miracle. And they were now standing before him and saying, what's going on? How dare you come into the house of the Lord and pray for people? Yeah. What an outrage, huh? But anyway, verse 13. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. For they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. Yeah. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Yeah. First of all, when we look at that, he takes the ordinary and he makes them amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Amazing boldness. He chose fishermen. He didn't choose Shakespeare. You know? Shakespeare could have stood there and gave a great oratory speech or something, but no. He chose fishermen. He chose ordinary people. And the other thing they recognized, that they were being hanging about with Jesus. They'd been hanging with Jesus.
Yeah.
He was their main man. You know? He was at home inside of them.
Yeah.
One more. Acts chapter 9. And this is Saul, who became Paul. He was the one who wrote Ephesians, as we talked about a little bit earlier. And he'd just become a Christian. He'd seen a blazing light from heaven. So he couldn't deny that Jesus was who the apostles had been saying he was. And this is something else that was amazing to people. Because, yeah, once he'd been killing people, and all of a sudden he's become one of the people that he'd been trying to kill. Very funny, I like it. All who heard him were amazed. Isn't this the same man who caused such devastation among Jesus' followers in Jerusalem? They asked. And didn't he come here to arrest them and take them in chains to the leading priests? Saul's preaching became more and more powerful, and the Jews in Damascus couldn't refute his proofs that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. Don't you just love that verse?
Wow.
He proved that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. I always remember Well, I gave my life back to God. I'd strolled into church one night and walked out a different man because I'd had an impact from God. And one of the old ladies in Gloucester, she said in her best Gloucester accent, "I've been amazed at you," she said. And, because God had done such a change in my life. Because the way I walked into the place was totally different to the way I walked out of the place. And that God had changed my life. You know, I became amazing.
Yeah.
And you're amazing too. You're absolutely amazing. Okay. We can achieve the amazing.
Yeah.
You know, when people see this place, they kind of come in, they used to see it as it was, as a pub. And they look around, it's amazing what you've done here. We've had those comments, haven't we? You know, when people have come in. Yeah. Pastor Lynn has probably had more comments than anybody else, you know. But what an amazing thing you've done with this place. This place looks absolutely fantastic. People are amazed. You know, when God gets inside you, gives you a vision, gives you something to do, shows you what he wants to do, amazing things can be achieved.
Yeah.
And they can recognize God in it all. You know, this building glorifies God because of what it was to what it's become. It's a type, if you like, isn't it, of before God, after God. I like it. Like I say, there's been times when God has amazed me at what he's been able to do through me. You think to yourself, well, you know, I'm just Joe Bloggs or whatever. I'm sure the disciples thought exactly the same. There they were, fishermen, tax collectors, this and that, zealots, blah, blah, blah. God used them in outstanding ways. You know, God smiles. He says, yeah, that's because I can do exceedingly, infinitely more than you can ask or think inside of you. And it's true for every single believer. It's true for every person. God has got a plan for you. You know, I believe he's got a plan for everybody. You know, he died for everybody. He's got a plan for everybody to give them a fantastic and amazing life.
Yeah.
Pastor Shane often talks about, I can't believe that I've got a degree now. You know, it's amazing. You know, I would never have thought that I'd have a degree. And now he has. It's amazing what God can do when he gets hold of your life.
Yeah.
All right, a person moving and operating in the plan and purpose of God is unstoppable.
Yes.
I believe that. I believe that. Do the thing that God has commissioned you to do under his authority structure and you're going to prosper and you will be fulfilled, as we've been hearing about in the past few weeks. You know, there's that fulfillment that comes to you when you're walking in the plans and the purposes of God.
Yeah.
Be awesome.
Yeah.
It's God's intention for you. You know, God wants you to be awesome.
Yeah.
I believe that. It's biblical. We've seen it. It's biblical.
Yeah.
It's the wisdom of God to shame the worldly wise with the foolish things of the world in the world's eyes. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Right. God likes to take the ordinary and to make it extraordinary. Yeah. Extraordinary. Okay. God wants to amaze us with what he achieved through us. Anybody here qualify as ordinary? Okay, that's a few of you at least anyway. All right. Ordinary. God uses the ordinary. Yeah. Right, let's read Ephesians 3, 16 and 17 again. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit.
Yeah.
And then verse 17. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts. As you trust in him, your roots will grow down into God's love and to keep you strong. Let me hear you say strong.
Strong.
Okay. It's trust in Jesus that makes a home for him in your heart. That's what the scripture says. Okay. I don't know about you guys, but I want Jesus to be at home with me.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want him to feel as though he can be at home with me. And the way we do that, we trust that his plan for you, his plan for me, is good. And we trust that his way for you is good.
Yeah.
And his way for me is good. Okay? A home, well, that's for living in, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, a home is for living in. It's more than just a house. It's supposed to be a place of comfort. It's supposed to be a place of security. We know that society is not always that way, but I'm sure for most of us, you know, that's the way home is, or certainly that's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Where a place where you're welcome all of the time. You know, when I was a kid and you was in danger because some of the big kids were after you, you run home, don't you? You know, it's a place of safety. It's a place where you go to be safe from harm. Here's the question. Is Christ at home in your heart? Or would you just like him to pop in now and again? Like the maintenance man, maybe. You know? That's not what he wants for you. Yeah. That's not what he wants for himself. He wants to be at home in your heart. Okay, it's not like Centre Parks where they say you've got to be out by 10 a.m. Jesus, thank you very much for coming. If you could move along, Jesus wants to be at home. Yeah. Okay, more, not just a hotel, wants to be at home. Yeah. What else makes a happy home? Alright, now in our home, Mama Bear, she loves to look after Daddy and the little bears. Alright, and she pays attention to us and looks after us and makes sure we're all okay. Alright, here's the question. Do we pay attention to Jesus or do we just walk past him whilst he's sat on the sofa? You know? Are we paying attention to the person that wants to make his home in our heart? When he's beckoning to us, you know, come and spend a bit of time. You know, come sit yourself down. Let's have a chat. You know, let's talk. Let's do some fellowship together, me and you. I want to be at home in your heart. Make room for me. You know, that God is always beckoning us near. Jesus beckons us, you know. He says how much he loves us, yeah. And that love wants to spend time with us. To feel at home, you got to talk to the family. We talk to God through prayer, don't we? Yeah. Prayer in its basic form, we talk to God. Yeah. You know, and God, through the Bible, this is a Bible, he talks back to us. Yeah? So, and we can only experience God's voice speaking to us if we spend time, if we've made Jesus at home within our hearts. Yeah. It's basic, but it's something that's so necessary. Alright. And of course, Jesus is the only family member that is always right. I do try and convince Sharon that I'm always right. I say, Sharon, haven't you learned yet? I'm always right. But she doesn't fall for it. She doesn't fall for it. Because God has made her wise. Alright. But God... God is always right, okay? Jesus is always right. So when we're talking to him, we know that what he says is good. Alright? We can do our best to be right all the time. But God, he is right all the time. Jesus is at home when we put our trust in him. Alright? My boys, from time to time, they come to their dad for help. Now, if they went to the bloke next door, I'm going to be pretty cheesed off. What's going on? You know, I'm the daddy round here. What's going on? Well, are you going to the bloke next door? I want you to come to me for help. You know, I'd feel like a stranger in my own home. You know, let's not treat Jesus as though he was a stranger. You know, that's not why he came. That's not why he saved us. That's not why he bought us. He bought us into a family for relationship with himself first and foremost. Okay, do we get the picture? You know, we can trust Jesus as a helper. We can trust Jesus as healer. We can trust Jesus to give us wisdom. We can trust Jesus to be our provider. We can trust Jesus to be a friend that's closer than a brother. We can trust Jesus to be a counselor. We can trust him to be our guide. He can be our defender, our peace, our joy. You know, there he is. These are all these endless, abounding riches that Paul is writing about. You know, they're all there for us in Christ if we would just take hold of them. Yeah. What else is going to make Jesus feel unwelcome in the home of our hearts? I once worked in a house, and man, it stank. It really smelled. Pastor Shane, you would have just passed out as soon as you walked through the front door, mate. It was chaotic. It was chaotic. He was talking about last week. He was talking about how he loves things to be in a certain order. You would have passed out as soon as you walked through the door, mate. I tell you, it was just. It was clutter. There was poop. There was. I tell you, the litter tray. Honestly, it made my eyes water. It was literally that strong. It was kind of, how can you live with this? You know. So it's amazing what people get used to in life. You might be able to see where I'm going here. But what stinks to Jesus? All right, it's a three-letter word that begins with S. Sin. All right. Now, we all do it, and we all need to get it washed from time to time to get the smell of sin off. You know what I mean? If I hadn't washed for a couple of weeks and asked you to smell my pitch, you're not going to want to do that. You know? You're going to want to steer clear. All right. Sorry, that was a bad image, wasn't it? Bad image. All right. So some of you, maybe you wash daily, maybe some of you wash weekly, maybe some of you wash monthly. You need to look for who's sitting alone. No, I shouldn't say that. Pastor Shane, I know you both wash daily. I'm sure that's all right. I'm just being a little bit naughty. That's what I do. Sorry.
I don't know, mate.
Can. No, I know she's had a bath this morning. Right, okay. I better not go there either. Anyway, right. Don't get immune to the stink of sin, all right? Stay sensitive to the Spirit's conviction in your life, okay? That's what I'm trying to say, all right? It's about what we watch, what we listen to, what comes out of our mouth, what we do with our bodies. You know, let's not get used to not having Jesus around, you know? When Jesus, by His Holy Spirit, is convicting us and saying, you know, that is not making me at home within your heart. We need to be sensitive to that, and we need to keep that sensitivity. We do that by going, we get a wash. Yeah? We get a wash. We go to the blood of Jesus. You know, this communion that we've been taking this morning is a picture of what we can do to get ourselves clean again in God's sight. We just say, God, I've messed up again. Please forgive me for the wrong things that I know I've done and thought and said. And God, in His graciousness, you know, that's why He died. He loves to forgive us. He wants to forgive us. He longs to forgive us. When we mess up, He longs to forgive us again and again and again. And we can come to Him, and every time He's going to forgive us, because His grace is so big, so wide. You know, it is immeasurable, just like the treasures that He's got for us. It is so fantastic. We will never get over the power and the strength and the height and the width of His forgiveness. So we can come to Him for anything. It doesn't matter what you've done, you know. We can come to God for that forgiveness. And we will get it when we're sincere. Okay, light and darkness, they don't coexist together. One's got to go. All right. Right. Doing wrong stops you from being awesome for God. You know, it just stops you from being awesome.
Yeah.
You know, people won't see the glory of God inside you. You know, they won't be able to look at your life. All they'll see is the sin, the thing that you're doing. I don't know whether you've ever been in that situation, and perhaps you've done something you shouldn't do, and you're there and you're with non-Christians. I didn't think Christians did that kind of thing. Very quick to pick up upon it, aren't they? Very quick. They might have been doing it all day long, 10 times worse, but as soon as you do it, they jump on you because they know that it's wrong too. You know, they think, it's not wrong to do that, but if you do it, they're on you. They're on you, just like that. And it's not glorified to God, you know, when a Christian lives for things that are sinful, does things that are sinful. It doesn't give Him glory. It doesn't make you awesome.
Sure.
All right. And God wants us to be awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So yeah, pay your taxes. Don't cheat. Speak good things, you know. Be careful of what comes out of your mouth, etc. You know, we know how the right way to live is. It's all written down in here, isn't it?
Yeah.
So let your roots go down deep into God's love. It will keep you strong. Okay, and to keep you clear of all the nasty, smelly stuff that is going to drive Jesus away. Pastor Shane was talking about the Declaration of Independence last week, the pursuit of happiness that the Americans, when they decided they didn't want to be British anymore, can't imagine why they wanted to do that, but you know, they're a little bit deluded like that. But what they basically said was happiness. Happiness, you know, how you pursue happiness, how you get hold of happiness, is being able to live for your community. Mm. Worse to that effect, wasn't it?
Mm.
All right, yeah. So it's good. You're awesome when you serve others, like Jesus did.
Yeah.
You know, we know that this Christian life, the example that Jesus has shown us, it's not all about us. It's all about other people.
Yeah.
Hey, thank God, wasn't it? Thank God. that Jesus knew that it wasn't all about him. He knew it was all about us.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic. No one's ever come up and said to me, Steve, you know the thing I like about you, Steve? You're just so selfish. It's absolutely fantastic. I love the way you're so selfish. You know, I don't know whether anybody here has ever had anybody say that to him. I guess not. All right. That's not awesome living. In fact, it's awful living. All right.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to want that on their tombstone. You know, Steve Parker, the most selfish man in England. Wouldn't that be awful? You'd want to be resurrected just to put it right, wouldn't you? Okay. What did Martin Luther King, Gandhi, Nelson Mandela, Mother Teresa, what do they all have in common? They live for others, you know? That's what made them awesome. You know, that's what made them famous, if you like. And Jesus, he's the ultimate example, isn't he, of somebody who lived for other people. He was God, yet he made himself nothing. And he took on that servant's nature, and he died a criminal's death in our place. In our place, in your place,
yeah.
In my place. Wonderful Jesus. Okay, if you want to serve God in church, and you're saying to yourself, I just don't know what to do, but yeah, I know I need to serve, form an orderly queue in front of Pastor Shane, I'm sure he will be able to guide you in the right direction. All right. However you serve, do it with all of your might, for God is looking to reward you.
Mm-hmm.
Be awesome, not Eeyore, because Eeyore is a donkey. Those of you who are familiar with Winnie the Pooh. You act like a donkey when you think that you can serve God all on your own, outside the body, outside of the church. That's not the way God has shown. I'm just giving it to you the way that it is. All right. We're only awesome in the context of a family, a church family, a body that he places us into. Our gifts work together in unity. You know, we were praying about this in the prayer meeting, you know, talking about unity, talking about the gifts. Each person has a different gift and they all work together.
Yeah.
You know, God has given each one of us gifts. We need to be able to use them. And when we do, something powerful happens. We need each other. Let's be honest, Eeyore is flipping miserable. Okay, and so will you be if you're outside of the covering of God's family, of his church. Be an awesome server in whatever area you're asked to be in. That's all I can encourage you to do. And hopefully you'll take that up. I know some of you're doing it already. Brilliant. Do it. Do it with all your might. Do it with all your strength. God has given you the privilege of serving. You know, Paul wrote about that, didn't he? He's given me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about Christ. You know, whatever area of service it is that God has got you doing, it's a privilege. You know, it really is a privilege to be able to work for God. You're going to find ultimate fulfillment in doing that. Don't bury your talent. Bring it to the party. It's needed. Okay?
Yeah.
It's needed. You are the only you.
Yeah.
God has not made two snowflakes the same, all right? And he hasn't made two people the same either, okay? God is not in the cloning business. I just ended the debate on cloning technology. Somebody ring the Prime Minister. Mr. Prime Minister, stop it. God doesn't do clones. There we go. Awesome. Right. God's investment. Summing up here. God's investment. He has put endless treasure inside of us in Christ. God has got you to parade before the devils. Devil, look at this one. Look at this one. He's come here to knock down the gates of hell and to plunder you. You thought you had him, but now I got him, and now he's after you. You better start running. Okay, there is inner strength that God places inside of us by his Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
We need to take hold of that, and we need to use it.
Yeah.
God intends your life to be absolutely awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. Only the ordinary need apply. Mm. All right? Because God gets all of the glory.
Mm.
Trust him. All right, we've got to trust him. And when we trust him, God makes his home within our hearts. Does anybody want Christ within their heart? At home, more than welcome, all the time. Let's get rid of the stuff that stinks, okay? Anything, whether it be an attitude, whether it be some known sin, you know what's going on inside of you. All right, get rid of it, you know? Come for a clean. Come fresh this morning and you can get yourself close with God again. Get your roots down deep into God's marvelous love. And that way you're going to stay strong. Because that's where the power comes from, isn't it? The roots of a tree, they go down and they bring up nourishment. All right? We need to bring up the nourishment from God. Serve like Jesus served. What a challenge that is, eh? Know that it is an absolute privilege to serve God. And come on, let's take part in the body. Yeah. With all of our strength and with all of our might. Okay, let's pray. You can close your eyes. It's always good. Yeah, Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, that you didn't call us to an ordinary life, Lord, but you called us to an extraordinary an awesome life, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that we're just going to be able to take hold of that in faith this morning, Lord. I pray, Lord, we realize, Lord, you've made us for awesomeness, Lord God. You've made us to be a people that calls all, because it brings glory to you, Lord. We don't want to big ourselves up, Lord God, but we know, Lord, that when you do wonderful things through us, Lord, that you get the glory and people see, Jesus has done this. And Lord, I want to pray that each of us would realize, Lord, that we're to display your glory. We're to be awesome for you, Lord, so that people will see that you are awesome. And I want to pray, Lord God, that we're going to be able to live our lives, Lord, in an awesome way, Lord God, that God, you would bring back the supernatural into our lives, Lord God, that it wouldn't just be something we read about, Lord God, it wouldn't just be something we heard from days gone by, Lord God, but we're going to be able to see the supernatural at work and within our midst, Lord God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that that might even happen today, Lord God, that you, by the power of your Spirit, by the mighty power that is work inside of us, Lord God, that you are going to do awesome things, Lord God, amen, in this place, Lord God, and we're going to be able to give testimony to it, Lord, and tell people about you. Lord, we want to pray that Boston is going to know that God is in the midst, Lord, because of the awesome things that you're doing. Lord, we pray that people are going to be amazed, Lord God, at the things that you are doing. Thank you, Lord God, for all the good things that you've done up to date, Lord. And we want to pray, Lord, that that is just going to accelerate. That will just explode, Lord God. And we will see more and more things taking place, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.